Okay, we are picking up on Nun Amud Beis. We are, I believe, we're 9 lines from the top by the 2 dots. It was disappointing. First, Mashiach didn't come last night, even though Rabbi Silber touted that he thought this was it. And then Rabbi Silber's not giving shir tonight. So it's like 2 disappointments, like in a very short time. But so I believe we're picking up from the first 2 dots on Amud Beis. So the Mishnah said, Shtei Chaburos, that if the Mishnah said that if you have 2 groups that were eating in one house and they're able to see each other, then they're able to combine for a Zimun. But if they're not able to see each other, then they're not able to combine for a Zimun. So the Gemara says, Tana, Im Yesh Shamish Beinehem, if there was a waiter that was between the 2 groups, even though the groups were not able to see each other, but if the 2 groups have the same waiter that's serving them food, Shamish Mitzarfen, then the waiter is considered to be the common bond between them. And even though normally when you can't see each other, you can't make a Zimun, but because the waiter's there and he's kind of keeping the 2 groups together, so they would be able to combine to make a Zimun together. Okay, the next part of the mission said, and again, we're up to now to the second 2 dots on the Amud on Nun Amud Beis. Eim Evarchan Al Yain, that you're not able to make a Bari Pri HaGafen on wine until you would pour water into it, because wine in those days was very, very strong, and by itself they wouldn't be able to drink it, so they'd have to pour water into it in order to dilute it. And just interestingly, or at least I don't know, interestingly, my grandfather in Cleveland who died, I'm named after him, so I did not know, I never met him, but he would pour water into his wine all the time. He had some tradition to always do it, maybe from here. And to this day, my father still pours some water into the wine before he makes kiddush. So, you know, take that with what it is. But anyway, so the mission said, Emma Rachanai, that you're not able to make a Bari Pri HaGafen on the wine until they would pour water into it, because if not, it was too strong and you weren't able to drink it. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan. The Brisa said, Tan Rabbanan. Yayin atshalona samasocha mayin, that if you have wine, that until you pour water into it, Emma Rachanai la Bari Pri HaGafen, you do not make a Bari Pri HaGafen, ela Bari Pri Eitz, you make a Eitz, because then it's just like any other fruit. And until it's converted into wine, it doesn't have that chashiv. Again, the reason why normally you make a bracha on wine is because the grapes are taken and they're turned into something better. So therefore, you make a Bari Pri HaGafen on it. But until that happens, when they're still in this strong state, we are about 11 lines from the from Nun Amud Beis at the top. So until you pour this water into it, by itself it's too strong, so you just make a Bari Pri Eitz on it. And v'notol mimenu liyadayim, you're able to wash your hands with it. Because Rashi says that a person is able to wash his hands, you wash your hands with water. Rashi says that all fruits are considered to be mei peiros. They're like water of the fruits. So water of the fruits, you're able to wash your hands with it. I don't know if that's halach or not, so don't go like squeezing oranges and start, you know, putting that into your cups to wash. But so the same thing, this undiluted wine, until it's considered like, until you would dilute it, you'd also be able to wash your hands with that as well, because that would just be considered, just like every other fruit, would be considered being made peiros. Mishnas and lochamayim, but once you put water into the wine, the varchan ala bari pri hagefen, then you make a bari pri hagefen on it, the ain lotlim men alor diamond, then you are not able to wash your hands with it again, because now it's attained a more chash of status, it has a more important status of wine, so it's not considered just to be like fruit of the water of the fruit anymore, and you would not be able to wash your hands with it. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's according to Rabbi Eliezer, again, who said that in the Mishnah he needed to pour water into the wine in order to make a bari pri hagefen. The chachamim, either way, whether you poured water into the wine or whether you didn't pour water into the wine, you still make a Bari Pri HaGafen on it, and you do not wash your hands on it, because they hold that grapes, that grape byproduct, the juice from the grapes, is in of itself is also considered to be more chashuv. The Gemara is going to explain what you're able to get from undiluted wine, how you're able to use it. So regardless, you're able to make a Bari Pri HaGafen on it, and on top of that, you also are not able to use it to wash your hands, because again, this is not just considered to be regular fruit juice. This is considered to be wine, which is considered very much more chashuv. So Gemara says, "Come on, Nazal Hadam or Shmuel, Osa Adam called Tzrach of a Pas, that a person is able to use bread for all of his needs." So the Gemara says, "Come on, Kareb Eliezer, just going like Kareb Eliezer, that again says that until you pour water into it, it's considered to be like water." Now, and even when the Gemara says that you can use the bread for all your needs, Rashi says, but you're not able to make it inedible. So you can use bread. Let's say you have a loaf of bread in front of you and you want to put your gemara on top of it to be able to see it better. You'd be able to do that because you're not ruining the loaf of bread. But if whatever you're doing is going to make it inedible and disgusting, again, which the gemara will talk about in a little bit, then you're not able to do that with bread. Next Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Modim Chacham le Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer, because Shal Bracha, that with the Koshal Bracha, that She'em of, because they, remember, they say, the Chachamim say that you don't, even if you don't pour water into the wine, you still make a Bari Priya Gafen on it. But they do admit, that you do not make a Bracha, Achitzin L'Soch HaMayim, that when you have a Koshal Bracha, meaning that you are using the cup of wine for benching, so that's considered, that's called a Koshal Bracha, so you are not able to make a bracha on that cup. Achitin l'soch hamayim. You have to first put water into it. My time. And what's the reason you have to put water? I'm Rav Oshia b'inya mitzvah min amovcher, because you're supposed to make the mitzvah. It's supposed to be better. It's supposed to be the choicest mitzvah possible. So again, undiluted wine is really not drinkable. That's a word. Yeah, it's not drinkable. So therefore, they say that if you're using this cup of wine for koshal bracha, for benching, then you should first pour water into it, and then you're able to use it for benching. So the Gemara says, Rabbanon, l'may chazi. So we said that the Rabbanon said you always make a bari priya gafen, even on undiluted wine. So what is it that this undiluted wine, what is it good for? Gemara says, I'm Rabzeira chazi l'krotai, that it's good for this krotai, which is some sort of drink that was made from undiluted wine. They would take wine and honey and pepper, and they would mix them together, and you were able to use it. It was some sort of beverage that they were able to drink. So maybe the honey and the pepper would somehow make the taste more palpable. So there because of that, you make a bari priya gafen, even if you have not added any water into this undiluted wine. Okay, so now the Gemara said, because the Gemara said before that you could use all your bread for all your needs, so it's going to go a little bit into how you're supposed to be treating food. Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Arba dvarim nemru b'pas. There were four things that were said about bread. One, ein manichin basar al chai al pas. You're not allowed to put raw meat onto bread because we're afraid that the blood from the meat is going to drip into the bread and that's going to make it disgusting. You're not going to want to eat it. It's going to ruin it. So you're not able to do that. Again, if you want to, once it's cooked, it's not a problem. But if it's raw meat, so it's still the juices from that meat are going to make it something that you would not want to eat, then you're not able to do it. Second thing is, v'em avirin kos malei al pas, not able to pass a full cup of liquid over bread because we're afraid that you're going to spill the liquid onto the bread and no one wants to eat soggy bread. It's disgusting to eat. So we're afraid that you're going to ruin it, so you shouldn't do that either. The next thing is, v'ein zarkin es hapas, you're not able to throw bread. And the last thing is, v'ein samchin es hakara b'pas, that you're not able to use it to prop up the example I gave before, that you're not able to use it as a plate to prop up other things. But again, I think the word's going to come out that's only if it makes it that it's inedible that you're not going to be able to do it. But if it won't, then it's not a problem. So Gemara says, a little story here. Amemar Marzutra, Rav Ashi, Karchu Rifta Bahari Adari. Amemar Marzutra and Rav Ashi were eating bread together. I see the Kamayhu Tamri Rimoni. They brought before them dates and pomegranates. And now there's a little bit of a different shitos in terms of what is being thrown here. But we're going to go with the pashup shot right now. Shaka Marzutra, Pasach Lekame Dravashi's Desitna. So Marzutra took a piece of cooked meat and he tossed it over to Ravashi. So Amar Leis, Ravashi said to him, Lo Sabar Larmar, Lahaditanya, don't you hold like that which you learned in the Brisa, Ain Zarkanasa Oakland, that you're not allowed to throw fruit? So why were you throwing the food to me? So Marzutra answered him, Ahiba Pastanya, that was talking about bread, but I was throwing to you meat, so therefore it's not a problem. Again, according to some shitas, it's talking about either the pomegranates or the other food that was brought out, that's what he threw. But he said, it's only by bread that you're not allowed to throw bread, but you are allowed to throw other foods. So Ravashi asked him, Vatani, we learned in another brisa, Kishem Shen Zarkin as a pasha, so you're not able to throw bread. So Kach Ein Zarkin as a ochlin, you're also not to throw any foods. So it's not just bread. So how could you throw the meat to him? So Amalei Marzutra said to him, Vatani, we learned in another brisa, Afal Pisha Ein Zarkin as a pasha, even though we say that you can't throw bread, Aval Zarkin as a ochlin, you are able to throw foods. So we got a bunch of brises that are contradicting each other. One says that you can, one says that you can't. So he said, how do you understand this? So he explained it and he said, Lokasha, they don't contradict each other. Hab imidi demias, it depends. If you're by throwing the food that you're, if you're throwing the food other than bread, is going to make it something that's going to be disgusting, meaning if it would land, if the person didn't catch it, or if it fell on the floor, it's going to be something that's going to become very disgusting. Or if the floor itself, let's say, was disgusting, which the Gemara is going to talk about, so then you're not able to throw it. And hab imidi delomias, and here we're talking about something that is not that is not going to get ruined if you throw it. And this actually comes into play when they talk about by an afruf, where they make candy bags, and they're throwing the candy bags at the chassan. So you're not supposed to put food in there that if it falls on the floor, which it always does, even though the kids get it very quickly, but you're not supposed to put foods in there that are going to get ruined. It has to be, you know, wrapped candies or something that, you know, harder, that which again, it shouldn't be hurting the chassan either. I had a friend in yeshiva. He had a great arm, and he used to just, I mean, like, he whipped it across, like, as hard as he could. He wasn't at my offer, so I wasn't, you know, that wasn't a big deal. But anyway, you're not supposed to take anything that's going to get that ruined. When you throw it, you're not supposed to, like, you shouldn't be putting cakes inside of it and tossing it. Just, you know, it turns disgusting. Okay, next Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. Mamshiches yayin betzinoros ufnei chasen v'kalo. So we're going to discuss again where you're using foods now, not for eating, but using it for other purposes, just in terms of how you're supposed to treat it properly. So they said that you're allowed to let, they had these, when the chasen and kalo would come out by the wedding, so they would have these pipes that they would pour wine into it. I think it's almost like if you think of... you know, they have those kiddush sets now where you pour it into the middle, and then the wine goes into all the little cups that underneath it. So they had apparently these big containers that they would pour wine into it, into these pipes, and then the wine would flow, and the Mefarshim explained, and not that it would fall, some say it would fall onto the ground, but others explained that it wouldn't fall into the ground. It was kind of like some sort of mechanism where it would, it would fall into the bottom, and then it would go back up into the top of the pipes. And the reason why is because it was like a bracha that you were saying to the chasen and kala, that just like this wine is flowing now, so too your marriage should always be flowing. It should always be something beautiful. So we say you're allowed to let this wine flow through the pipes before a chasen and kala, and vizark and lefneim klayo. You're able to throw grain and walnuts in the summertime. You're able to throw that to them when, you know, like again now, and I don't know if this is where maybe they got it from the church, but when a bride and groom in the church, they'd always show that they're throwing rice and
the symbol for children.
Okay, so again, this is a similar thing that they would throw, apparently in those days, they would throw grains and they would throw nuts at them, and you could do it in the summertime because, again, if they fall onto the ground, so the ground's dry and it's not going to get ruined, you're still able to pick up the nuts and you're able to eat them. Avalobi mosak shamba, you can't throw it in the wintertime because then it's muddy and, again, the food's going to be ruined. Avalobi luskos, lobi mosakham, avalobi mosak shamba. You're not able to throw these baked rolls either in the summertime or in the wintertime. And, again, the reason why is because if they fall onto the ground, even with the 6-second rule, it's going to be disgusting and no one's going to want to eat it, so you're not able to throw that. Again, the rule is if it's going to become disgusting, you can't throw it. If it's not, then you're able to. I'm Rav Yehuda Shacha. Okay, so there's a new Gemara now, which the Mefarshim say that really this could have been brought in the very beginning when we were discussing the whole topic of brachos. I think at the beginning of the sixth parak, we really could have said this over here about what happens if a person's eating food and he forgets to make a bracha. So Gemara says, I'm Rav Yehuda. Let's say a person was eating food, and which happens all the time. A person pops something into his mouth, he's eating, and then he realizes halfway through as he's chewing, oh, I forgot to make a bracha. You know, and he's supposed to make a mezonos on it. I forgot to make a mezonos on the food. What are you supposed to do? So Gemara says, v'salkan letzad echan mevarach. You're supposed to move the food over to one side of your mouth, and then you're supposed to make the bracha at that time. So there's now going to be three different opinions about what you're supposed to do with food. That if a person started eating something and realized that the food was still in his mouth, he realized that that he had not yet made a bracha. So Tanya Chada, Bolon, one Tana says that if you put food into your mouth, you should swallow it without making a bracha. V'tanya idach poltan, and the other one, another Brisa says that you should spit the food out, make a bracha, and then you should put it back in your mouth. V'tanya idach mesalkan, and the third Brisa says that a person should move it over to the side of his mouth and he should make the bracha. So what do we hold like? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to swallow it? Are we supposed to spit it out, make a bracha, and then pop it back in? Or are we supposed to move it to the side and we're supposed to make a bracha? So Gemara says, Lo kasha, there's no contradiction between these brises, which each one says to do a different thing. Haditanya Bolon, the brisa which says that a person is supposed to swallow it, b'mashkin, we're talking about that a person was drinking liquids. So if a person is drinking liquids, so you're not able to spit out, I mean, you could, but you're not going, no one's going to spit out a liquid and then drink it again. So if a person spits out the liquid, if a person is drinking liquid, just swallow it without making a bracha. It's already, and there's a discussion, I think we spoke about it before, that when a person makes a bracha, what's the purpose of a bracha? Is the bracha like a mitzvah that you're doing, that you're making a, that you're fulfilling a commandment by making a bracha? Or is a bracha a matir? Yes, but a mitzvah drabanan. But what is the purpose? Is it a mitzvah drabanan, or is a bracha a matir? Is a bracha something that permits you, like until you make the bracha on it, the food really is quote unquote forbidden to you, and then after you make a bracha, it's a matir, which means that it's permitted. Now the bracha is something that's permitting you to now eat the food. So that would kind of come into play here in terms of what you're supposed to be doing with the food. Like if you say that it's something that's allowing you to eat it. So then if you didn't make a bracha, there would be that side to say, either you spit it out, or you can't swallow it. But if the whole explanation is that it's a mitzvah, okay, so it's a mitzvah. You missed the opportunity. You had an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. You blew it, but, finish swallowing what you had now. So the Gemara says, if we say, Ba'alon, talking about where you had mashkin, where you had a liquid. So for liquid, you're supposed to swallow it. But how did Tanya Paltin, that which you said that you should spit it out? B'midi delomimis, we're talking about something that's not going to be disgusting when you spit it out. For example, let's say it was a sucking candy that you popped into your mouth. You didn't make a bracha. You realize that you didn't make a bracha, so you spit it out into your hand, make the bracha, you can put it back in again. It's not the end of the world. Or let's say it's gum. A person puts gum into his mouth. People take gum out of their mouth all the time. They hold it for a second for whatever reason. You make a bracha and you put it back in. And that which we said that you move it over to the side of your mouth, the immediate dimimis, we're talking about something which becomes that if you chewed it already and you're going to spit it out, that's going to be disgusting. So no one's going on to do that. So therefore, you would just move it to the side of your mouth and you would make a bracha. Turning now to non aleph amud aleph. So if you have something that is not disgusting also, why don't we say that you should just move it to one side and make the bracha? Why do you have to spit it out into your hands? The Gemara says, and with this we'll finish, because it says in the pasuk that my mouth is going to be filled with your praises, Hashem. And if a person has, so it really means that a person is supposed to have that his mouth is empty. So if you have, even if you're moving it to the side, even with something disgusting, that's only bidyavid that you're supposed to do it that way. Because really, your mouth is supposed to be completely empty. And the Mefarshim also say that when a person's making a bracha, you're not supposed to just mumble the bracha under your breath. You're supposed to fill your mouth with the praises of Hashem. You're supposed to open your mouth wide. You're supposed to say the bracha clearly, using all the parts of your mouth in order to make the bracha. Okay, we will stop here. And tomorrow night, I believe Rabbi Silber is back. And the shir, I think, is going to be at 7:40, but he'll post that.